Need a fresh way to solve mission-critical problems? Look to challenge.gov. That's where agencies have launched more than 300 competitions and awarded millions of dollars in prizes. The digital platform has earned a top award from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Now it's the first federal winner of the Innovations Award in nearly a decade. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller returns with the scoop. All right, Jason, take it away. Why did Harvard choose Challenge.gov?
Well, actually, Challenge.gov stood out among more than 600 entrants, and there were several reasons. I think the first and most obvious one is how widely it was adopted over the last 3 years. 59 agencies, more than 3.6 million visitors from every state, more than 10,000 cities, and every country around the world. So the fact that it's been widely used and accepted as a way to solve problems is just a huge part of this award. Now, Stephen Goldsmith is director of the Innovations in American Government program. He explains other reasons why the platform also won the award.
I think this particular award is both fascinating and well-deserved because it represents additional factor. Today, we think about innovation, and we have this argument about government can't innovate and all innovation is in the private sector. And this award leverages that, right? It recognizes that a role of government is to be a catalyst for innovation, and it can act as a catalyst of innovation and cause innovation across the sector. So this award is particularly fascinating because it says, here is a federal activity run by a federal agency that brings out innovation from the private and nonprofit sectors that produces public good. Right? That's all we want and all we could have in a single award and a single idea. And that single idea obviously has produced hundreds of opportunities throughout the various agencies.
Not only has it produced those opportunities, Goldsmith says the platform has engaged the private sector in a way that hadn't been done, at least on a very wide scale before, and it opened the door to many more participants.
I think one of the interesting innovations about this is that it's a platform. It's not just a program. And it recognizes that there is a lot of good ideas that come from crowdsourcing. And so I think that extension of innovation into citizen response, how can we engage citizens in solving problems together, really is the future of public-private partnerships. It's a future of kind of what we call the co-production of government. And that's one of the reasons this is such a powerful award.
Now, this is in some ways surprising that Challenge.gov won this award, not because they're not good or not because they haven't done great things, but the number of federal applicants and the number of award winners from the federal government has been dramatically down over the last few years. Now, Goldsmith says Challenge.gov earned this top prize, which includes, I'm trying to confirm this, but $50,000, which is a prize money that they can use to replicate it, and that definitely makes a statement, he says, to other federal agencies. Now, there was one other program from the Departments of Education, Justice, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, and Treasury that also made a final list of five. It was the Neighborhood Revitalization Initiative that's trying to help the nation's most distressed neighborhoods through interventions addressing persistent crime, failing schools, crumbling housing, and health disparities. They were a finalist along with four others. Now, this is the 30th year of the Innovation Awards, and only one other federal program during this whole 30-year career has won the top honor. And again, that was from GSA, their first gov.gov website, which at the time in 2003 when they won, it was a huge deal. Now, as we know, firstgov.gov is now called usa.gov.
All right. And just to be clear, GSA runs challenge.gov, so I guess they were celebrating for the second time.
Exactly. Now, everyone uses it, but GSA was the one who put it together based on the 2010 memo from the Office of Management and Budget.
Well, so what are some of the agency projects that have used challenge.gov?
Well, there were hundreds, so I'm just going to highlight a few, I think, that were most interesting. The Federal Trade Commission held a challenge to develop an app to block robocalls. You know, those are those calls that you get in, you know, during dinner time that as soon as you sit down, they happen.
Yes,
well,
I hate them.
You hate
even
them.
Even though I'm on a do not call list, somehow they find me.
Somehow they find you. Well, that was one challenge. The Labor Department held a challenge, and they developed an application to make it easy to make it easier for companies to employ people with disabilities. So that was another interesting one. And then one of the most interesting ones was NASA, of course, because NASA does all the cool stuff in government many times. They used a challenge to make a better astronaut glove. And in fact, they had that glove at the event yesterday at the General Services Administration. So these are just a few of the many, many challenges that, have been held over the last 3+ years. And we'll post a link later today to that list of programs that have benefited from challenge.gov.
Interesting. What did that glove look like? Just curious.
It was light. It was, you think you go into space with a glove, it's got to be heavy, but it was not. And, you know, it looked like a long glove, I mean, really. But I think what the goal of it was to give better, give astronauts a better way to handle tools and to kind of, as they're doing spacewalks, to do their job easier and better and kind of have a better feel for what they're doing.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So why are these prizes and challenges gaining popularity in the government?
Because I think it's quickly becoming another way for agencies to reach out to the private sector and one that works. And it's much different than their usual approaches, which is usually, you know, contracts and grants. Dan Tangerlini is the administrator of the General Services Administration, which, as you mentioned, hosts the challenge.gov platform. He describes why challenges and prize competitions have really struck a good chord in government.
What's exciting about it is it really kind of revolutionizes the way we go to market and we ask people to help us resolve the issues in government and get work done. Normally, in a procurement process, what we do is we very carefully and frankly to the smallest degree describe the solution we're looking for. And what we do in the challenge program is subvert that. We change it. We turn it around and say, look, we're not going to argue that we know everything. We're going to suggest, in fact, that all we know is that we have a specific problem. We're going to ask the collective, we're going to ask as many smart people as possible, people with great ideas, people who have been thinking about things, tinkerers in their garages. We're going to ask them to give us solutions.
So Congress and the White House also saw the potential of the challenges and prizes, and as part of the America Competes Reauthorization Act, signed into law in January 2011, it included provisions to let more agencies hold more competitions and award up to $50 million in prize money for any one competition. Now, John Holdren is the director of the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy.
We know that prizes and challenges can work, and they're uniquely capable of doing what grants and contracts can't always do. For instance, prizes can establish an ambitious goal without having to predict in advance which team or approach is most likely to succeed. They can reach beyond the usual suspects to increase the number and diversity of problem solvers tackling a particular problem. They can bring out-of-discipline perspectives to bear that wouldn't otherwise be brought to bear on a problem. They can reap returns on investment many times larger than the size of the prize purse. And perhaps most importantly, prizes pay only for success.
Now, Holdren says agencies will continue to look to challenges and prizes, and there's actually a new Center of Excellence for Collaborative Innovation that's being led by NASA. It's going to provide agencies with guidance for how best to design, implement, and evaluate prizes and competitions. Now, NASA, along with EPA and HHS, actually are establishing strategies and policies to implement the authorities under the America Competes Act, as far as many others as well. So I think you're going to see this rising push to use more challenges and prizes when appropriate. Now, let's be clear. This is not all about let's move everything in that direction, but there are certain problems. There are certain things that can be done better through challenges and prizes than traditional contracts. I think you heard some of that description of why that works so well. So really, what this Harvard Innovations Award is recognizing is the beginnings of a good idea, because that's one of the questions I did ask Stephen Goldsmith is, how do you measure success? And he goes, listen, we measure the front end. We don't look at the back end. And he goes, that's a fair question. Do these last? Do these continue along? And that's a different award, if you will, a different research that they do.
That sounds like a follow-up story for you, Jason.
There you go. I'll put it on my list.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.